the King of my heart. Be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my knees. Oh, He's my song. You are good, good. Oh, You are good, good. Goodness of God. Amen. Amen. You know, I love that. We just in Sunday school, the beginning of Sunday school, we were talking about drinking deep of the Lord all day long. And then, you know, first verse, the King of my heart is the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Oh, hallelujah. I love the spiritual lessons that God puts into eating and drinking. There's all kinds of them throughout the Bible and everything. I guess it's because it's something that we all can relate with so well. But he talked about how he is the well of living water, that we can drink from, and then those rivers of living water can come out of us. Living water. He talks about the living water and pouring himself out for a drink offering for us. The water, the drink. But, he said that his body is the bread that we can take and partake of, that, was broken, that we can partake of, that we might be made whole. So there's that invitation to not just come and drink, but to come and dine. I'm not sure if y'all heard that. There's an invitation not just to come and drink, but to come and dine at the table of our King. We've talked about Mephibosheth before. He was the man in the Bible. He was the son of Jonathan, grandson of Saul, that King David showed compassion on, not because of anything that he had done or anything like that, but because of who he was and who his father was. Because of who he was and who his father was. Mephibosheth, who was made a cripple when he was just a baby, was seated at the king's table for all the remaining days of his life. And again, not because of what he did, because of who his father was, what the king did for him. Not because of who we are, but because of who our father is, and what the king has done for us. We are called to be seated at the table of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We are called to be seated at the table of the Lord. And we can come to that table, that we can lay down anything that is bothering us. That the King of our heart is there ministering to us, loving us, doting upon us, giving us everything we have need of. Most importantly, we had need of a love. We had need of a forgiveness, need of a Savior. Oh, hallelujah, that we can come to that table. Hallelujah, that we can come to that table, be seated at the table of our King. Hallelujah. of sin, all your sorrow and your sadness. There's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table. from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can sing. I'm melting your peace, so well.
Don't you love the presence of the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You and I, you know, we need to get out of the Martha mentality and be like Mary and just get at his feet and just rest in his presence. Amen. The Lord desires us just to be in a place and a position where we can hear from him, where he can love on us, we can love on him. And he can take every lie, every misunderstanding. He can bring truth. Where there was confusion, there can be perfect order. That's our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're privileged for the first time in church service since they have united as one. Mr. and Mrs. Zachary Voss. Would y'all stand? Everybody give them a hand. What a blessing. Amen. Know that we're praying for you and with you. And we're expecting great things. Amen. Because we serve a great God. So why would we expect anything else? Hallelujah. Glad to see Rodney and Shayla back. I know they were busy helping family last weekend, and that's commendable. We've got to take care of our family. Amen? That's good. Hallelujah. If you would, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. We're going to read the last two verses of chapter 11, then we're going to move into the first five verses of chapter 12. Now, as we read these verses of Scripture, I want you to hold this in your mind. This one thing that Jesus said, first of all, you know, you and I, we got to be in a place and a position where we get first things first. Amen. And the Bible is very clear. It says, as a man, a woman, a boy, a girl thinks in their heart, Proverbs 23:7, so are they, right? And so what we think about the most is really what becomes the most important thing in our life. That's why the devil tries to get things in your mind and in my mind, because if he can, he can get our minds off the Lord and off of his promise and off of his provision. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word issue, there's boundaries. If you and I don't have the Word of God to set our boundaries, we will go astray. All right. Luke chapter 11, verse number 53. If you're there, say amen. Now, the reason I wish we had time, we don't, of course, but chapter 11, in your home study time, you cover chapter 11, because to understand fully what's being done, you've got to understand chapter, the whole chapter, but we'll just start verse 53. Luke 11 and 53. And as he said these things, talking about Jesus, unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees, mark it down in your mind's eye, the scribes and the Pharisees begin to urge him vehemently and to provoke him and to speak of many things. Verse 54, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Now, going into chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verse number 1, in the meantime, this is all tied together, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch as they trode upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, mark that down in your mind's eye, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear shall in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, glory. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, reverence him, honor him, which after he hath killed hath had the power to kill or to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear or reverence him, reverence God. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Thank you, Lord, for the goodness, your grace, your love, and mercy that abounds in our life, Lord. Lord, let us open up our hearts to your word, Lord, and let us close our hearts to the world, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Let us open our minds to you and close to the world, Lord. Let us go forth in our lives, let us become our lives, Lord. We step forth in your will in this life, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for praying. The Lord wants to encourage us this morning, because in this life, everybody goes through struggles, goes through storms. Everybody's having to deal with a lot of action in your life. I think the closer that we get to the end of time, it's like a spinning as you watch something go down the drain. The closer it gets to the end, the faster it picks up speed. You and I, we're getting close to the end of this thing, and things are speeding up. And so we need to be ready for that. We need to see that. We need to understand that. But here's what the Lord has laid on my heart. So you get in here and you help me, and you go with me. And let's let the Holy Spirit lead us, because He's here this morning to encourage each one of us. And here's the whole thought of the whole thing, that these are the three things that I heard, that in this order, you got to be able, first of all, to know that you're going to hear God in this order, because you're in the discipleship, amen? And because there is disorder, but because you're in discipleship, there's going to be deceit. But in that deceit, you have a promise here that you're going to be able to know the truth. Amen? And so that's what the Lord has laid out in my mind, my very mind's eye, my heart, my spirit. And that's what I want to try with all urgency to encourage you about this morning. Amen? To encourage myself, for us to be able to be an encouragement to other people. So let's go back and look, starting in verse 53, Luke 11 and 53. Now, this whole 11th chapter, there's been so much powerful things that has happened. Jesus has made a promise. He said, if you ask, God will answer. If you seek, God, you will find. He said, if you knock under the things of God, that door will be opened unto you. Amen. And then Jesus showed them that he had the power of God the Father in his life, that by the finger of God, he cast the devil out. Amen. Well, that same power of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, is in your life. And he wants us to be in the place to cast the devil out. Amen. Out of every area of our lives, out of every area of those that people would lead into your life and my life this morning. But here's what we've got to get in our heart. Notice it says in verse number 53, and as he, Jesus, said these things, the scribes and the Pharisees, they begin to urge him vehemently and provoke him to speak of many things. Here's what you and I have got to see, and we'll document that when we get back to verse number 1. When God's word is going forth, that means his word is going to always produce a work. Because God said, my word will not go out void, but it'll return and it will accomplish what he sent it there unto. Amen? So when the word goes out, it's going to bring forth the will of God, but it's going to bring forth the work of God. Well, when that happens, you're going to always have a group of people who are going to stand against the word. And the word Pharisee, you and I, every time we read in the Bible, we just need to mark it down. Their name means separatist. There's always a group of people who are holier than thou, and they want to separate you from the truth, you from the power of God. They want to separate you from themselves because they're better than you. That's their mindset. But God, he looked at us, and he said we were very good. Amen? That's what God said. So we're going to go with what God said. So here we got these group of people, this and notice what it says. They begin to urge Jesus vehemently. They begin to trouble him grievously. Now you got trouble this morning, some of you do. You know why you got trouble? Because you're making a stand in this world for Jesus. And the bigger stand you make for Jesus, the more trouble you're going to have. Because the devil is trying to pressure you, trying to pressure me, because he wants us to say something out of turn. He wants us to say something that will bring us into a place of limitation, a place of judgment. Because notice verse 54. It says they were laying wait for him. Now this is just like a hunter waiting for a deer. They're wanting to get grounds to kill him, okay? The devil wants grounds to kill you and I. He hates you because the blood of Jesus is on your life. The blood of Jesus is on my life. We have the ability to speak truth to somebody and see them come from dead to life. Amen? From prison to freedom. Amen? That's what we've got. He says they were laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Now, what does the Bible tell us? Revelation chapter 12, Satan is the... So we know who they're working for. We know who they're representing, but they might accuse him. Now, this word accuse him, this is a legal term. And it means take him to the court to try him, to be a plaintiff against him. Okay, so this morning, you and I have got to get it down in our heart. As we're serving the Lord, there's going to be people who are going to be taking every word you say, and they're going to try to take you to court on it. Because what are we talking about? We're talking about the court of opinion out in this world, but more importantly, we're talking about the court of heaven. See, Jesus is our representative. Amen. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. And so as long as you and I stay in the place where he's representing us, it doesn't matter what they try to do, because the blood of Jesus takes care of all that. Amen. So we want to look at this, but we've got to be aware of what the purpose of what they're trying to do. They're trying to stop what Jesus is wanting to do. So with that groundwork, let's go into it. Notice what he said, verse number 1, Luke 12 and 1. In the meantime, while all this is going on, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude. Now, I want you to think about this group of people. It says an innumerable multitude. It's myriad. When we get our English word myriad, if you look in Hebrews 12:22, it translates the same word talking about the heavenly city having innumerable angels. So this is a group of people that cannot be numbered. Now, in the middle of the group of this people is Jesus. But Jesus is in the middle of who? His disciples. This morning, you and I were here before heaven and all the hosts, before the devil and all of his demons, but right in the midst of you, in the midst of me, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? So there's all sorts of things going on out here. There's a lot of things that you and I are thinking about that happened last week, happened last month, happened way long time ago that the devil's talking about, magnifying, trying to store up a windstorm in our life. But the reality is, I've got Jesus right here. You've got Jesus right there. Amen? And so here all of this is happening. All this multitude is there. Notice what it says. That insomuch that they trode upon one another. This word means that they were willing to step on somebody to kill them to get to where they wanted to go. Sound familiar? It's a dog-eat-dog world. Amen? But you and I, we've got a Savior. Amen? We've got a Jesus. Notice that they trode upon one another, and he, Jesus, began to say. He began to say. Now, we've got to get this down in our heart, because this is what happens so many times. The Lord will start dealing with you. He'll start dealing with me about something. He will begin to say. Now, this is this come to me when we was in Sunday school class. These are Lego blocks, right? Lego. Okay? You know what's so neat? The Greek word where Jesus, he began to say is the Greek word Lego. Lego. So when Jesus began to say, he began to what? He began to build. He began to build what he wanted the disciples to see and hear in the midst of all of these people. In the midst of all of this noise. In the midst of people stepping on one another. Some of you this morning have been stepped on. You've been hurt in some situations and circumstances. But God's got a word for you. And the word is, I'm talking to you, and I've been talking to you from the very beginning. Let me build on what I spoke to you earlier. Let me build on it, because as I build on it, I'm going to build into you the truth. And that truth that you become discipled in is the truth that makes you free. Amen? So he said, he began to Lego unto who? Unto his disciples. That's you and me this morning. Amen? I don't care who's trotting around. I don't care what the devil's doing. I don't care what his imps are doing. I don't care what the gossip is down the street, up the street, across the street. I want to know that my Jesus is talking to me. Amen? He's talking to me, and because he's in the midst of me, it doesn't matter what's happening out here, I can hear him this morning. And first of all, he's got something to say to me. First of all, he wants me to know, he wants you to know that he loves you with an everlasting love. He has a plan for you from the foundation of the world, and he wants you to know that you're going to fulfill the call and the will that he's destined in your life, that you're going to fulfill every step, because your step is ordered by him, by the Lord. Amen? And you're empowered by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost said, Jesus said, the Holy Ghost, I'm going to send him. He'll never leave you. Come on now. He'll abide with you, and he'll guide you into all truth. That's what you've got to believe. That's what I got to believe. First of all, Jesus began to say unto them, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. First things first, we need to know that the devil wants to get a small lie in your life. He wants to get a small lie in my life. It don't take much baking soda, does it, Granny Shirley, to make the bread rise, to make the biscuit. It doesn't take much, just a little bit. Beware ye, take a look at this, notice this leaven. He said, first of all, I want you to know this, that there's going to be words, there's going to be things that are going to be spoken in the name of church. Come on, the Pharisees, they represented the church. But don't you take anything that doesn't bear witness with your spirit by my spirit. Okay, well, let's read Genesis chapter 1. We'll have to figure out why in a minute. Genesis chapter 1, I don't know. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, when God created man and woman, he said it was good. When he put them together, it was very good. Okay. But verse 2, between verse 1 and verse 2, there's an undetermined amount of time. Because if you look at, and the earth was without form and void. That word was, in other places in the Bible, is translated come or become. So something happened between 1 and 2. Because God, if you, Isaiah 45:18, can you put that up there, Tori? For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he established it, he created it, not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. So God didn't make it the way it was in verse 2. Something happened. It was perfect in the beginning. All right. But notice here that the heavens. Now, in your King James Version Bible, in verse number 1 of Genesis 1:1, it says heaven and earth. But if you go to chapter 2, it says heavens, plural. And it should be heavens in Genesis 1:1. Because the Hebrew word is always in the plural form. Why is that important? It's important because when you and I look out at the sky, that's the first heaven. When we go beyond that, that's the second heaven. That's where the devil and all of his cohorts are. The third heaven, that's where you and I are looking for. Amen? That's where we're longing for. That's where we're going. Amen? Someday. And we're going to go to a brand new heaven and a brand new earth that ain't been tainted or touched by sin. Sin is leaven. Amen? And so here we are this morning, and all the disorder around our lives, we have a promise that Jesus is going to be talking to us, and he's going to be saying these words. He's going to be saying, beware. In other words, he's going to let you know where the problem areas are around your life, around my life. Come on, that's half the battle. The battle's not knowing what's happening. Why we're going through what we're going through, but we have a promise here that he said that I am going to show you how to bring order. Now, how did God change everything? God said. Now, in that Genesis chapter 1, over and over, 10 different times it says, and God said, and God said. This morning, Jesus is warning them of what's happening around them where they can say what he would say about the situation rather than what they're seeing or feeling. Amen? So you and I, we've got to do like God told Abraham, call those things that be not as though they were. So I've got to learn to put all this into perspective, and I've got to say, first things first, I know Jesus is going to give me a word that will change my situation, change my circumstance. And there can be a crowd all around me. There can be all kinds of noise. There can be all kinds of issues. But the Lord's going to talk to me. Amen? He's going to talk to you. Because look at his promise. He said in verse number 2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and neither hid that shall not be known. Now, the devil loves to work undercover. He loves to come disguised as a friend. Brother Donnie. I need you to pray with me about this. I saw Brother So-and-so. They were down at, the liquor store. So I just want you to pray with me about this. You know, they really, really, really need prayer. That was a big bag they brung out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it was milk.
Right.
Undercover. Beware. So what you and I have got to do, what we've got to be in the place and the position where we know God's going to show us the truth about everything. See, all the people were there. They weren't there for Jesus. They were there, as what Brother Corey was talking about this morning. Some of them were there to see the signs and the wonders. Some of them were there because of the charisma. Just the atmosphere was drawing them. Some of them was there because they wanted to be seen in that group. Some of them was there because they wanted to stop it. Amen? And so you and I have got to be in a place where we see that in the disorder, God's going to talk to us. But as he talks to us, we have the promise that we're his disciples. Because you notice he said, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, and so much as they trode upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all. So Jesus is talking. The rest of the people don't even know what's going on. They're clawing on one another. They're pushing on one another. They're hollering, what'd he say? But you know what Jesus says because you're not looking for him in all of the other stuff. Remember 1 Kings chapter 19? About verses 10, 11, and 12, something like that. You got Elijah, and he's just run from Jezebel. And he's trying to find God. And all of a sudden, what is it? There's a earthquake. I don't remember the exact order. There's a earthquake, a wind, and a fire. God wasn't in any of that. God come to him how? In the still, small voice. So, in the disorder of our lives, we know that because we're disciples, that we can hear God talk to us. And he'll meet us where we're at. Elijah was afraid. He said he'd run for his life. And there may be some situations in our lives today that we feel like that, hey, I want to run. Well, there's only one way for you and I to run, and that's to run to the throne room. Because we got a promise, if we come boldly to the throne of grace, that we will obtain mercy. Yes. Amen, in the time of need. Amen. That's our God. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Verse number 3. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness, this is Jesus talking, shall be heard in the light. And that which you have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now this is exciting for you and I. Because remember, he's talking and he's telling the people what the enemy's doing. Okay? And he said the enemy's making plans. And the enemy is trying to bring cursings by his words. But Jesus said something here. Notice this. Now, you and I, we need to get very just excited in the Lord. He said, therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness, talking about the enemy, he said, it shall be heard in the light. Okay, now, so we read this and we stay on the negative side. Let's get to the positive side. Matthew 5:14. Out of the mouth of Jesus, what does he say? Talking to who? His disciples, right? He says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. The blood-bought, blood-washed believer is light. Okay, now stay with me. Now reread. Therefore, whatsoever, talking about the enemy, whatever the enemy has spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Oh, come on now. Y'all ain't going to run with me? All right, put 1 John 5:7. No. Yes, maybe. No. 1 John 5:5. Let's start there. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? How many believers we got? Amen? All right. So we've documented that we believe that Jesus overcome the world. And we believe that we're his disciples. And he said, because he overcome, we overcome. Okay? Now, 1 John 1:5. Then this is the message which we have heard of him, heard of Jesus, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Who are you in? Who am I in? I'm in Jesus. You're in Jesus. There is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's not us. Amen. Verse 7. Now hold on to your chair. But if we walk in the light, say that's me. But if we walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light, because he is the light, John 9:14, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. But if we walk in the light, we walk in the light because we are the light.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. All right, now let's go back to Luke chapter 12. Jesus said, talking about the enemy, therefore whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. The devil can't stop you because it's not you, it's God in you. You are the light. You are in the light. You walk in the light. You exude light. Amen? Remember Elisha? The king of Syria kept coming against Israel. And every time the king of Syria would come against Israel, God would whisper into Elisha's ear. And Elisha would tell exactly what the king of Syria said in the bedroom, his bedchamber. And every time they, you know, he was going to have some of his people killed. And the guy come to him and said, listen, you don't have a traitor in the camp. It's the God of Elisha. Every time you speak, God tells him and he tells the king of Israel. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. So First of all, there's all kinds of noise, all kinds of trouble. There's people trying to step on you, hurt you, hinder you, keep you from God's best, God's will. But you are maybe in a place of disorder on the outside, but on the inside, you're in perfect order.
Yeah.
And because you're a disciple of Jesus, he's talking to you. And he's talking to you, and he gives you this promise. He said, therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness, you shall be heard in the light. And that which is spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. You and I, we have a closet. It's our prayer closet. So inside of our prayer closet, everything the devil's planning, God can reveal it to you. First of all, let me tell you what the devil's wanting to do. First of all, let me tell you why the devil's doing what he's doing. That's what the Lord wants to tell us. He wants you to be on guard. He wants me to be on guard. Amen. All right, and all of this, he brings us to this reality. Verse number 4. And I say unto you, my friends. Oh, I'm not just a disciple. I'm not just saved by grace. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, call me his friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer to it than a brother, amen. Jesus, the Son of God. Come on now. My friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. See, we get our eyes on what we think man can do to us, what the world can do to us. But Jesus said, I'm your friend. John 15, John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did that, right? Amen? Okay, it gets better. How could it get better? Because that's going to be eternal, but we need something for right now. Amen? Verse 14 and 15. Verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Come on, we're going to follow the Lord. Amen? Verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. What's going to happen in the closet? In your prayer closet, in my prayer closet? What's going to happen in the dark? Light's going to come. Truth's going to come. Jesus is going to come to you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to empower you, first of all. First of all, in all disorder situations, He's going to bring order, because our God is a God of order. And because we're His disciples, He is going to help us with the deceit that is working around us. Amen? This is a promise. Verse 5, "But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, reverence him, that after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." All of our reverence belongs to the Lord. Amen? But you see, we know what Scripture says. Scripture says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. All right? How does fear come? Yes, sir, Brother Donnie. Listening to the devil. The words of the devil will create fear. So we need to put our fear on the fact that we know that one day that God is going to cast the devil in that eternal lake of fire. Amen? But you and I, He's going to draw us unto Himself. Glory. Let me see if I can find the verse. I want to close. Colossians 3:15. Because for any of this to work this morning, you and I have got to do this. Because that's what the disciples had to make a choice of. Because they were in a place of chaos, of disorder. But they had to do what Jesus said. They had to hear His words, and they had to put it into practice. They didn't have to. They had to stop fearing the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, all the situations. And they had to fear. They had to reverence the Lord. Look what God says. Colossians 3:15. And let... You just got to let it be. Amen. I got to let it be. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I've got to believe that Jesus said I was a part of His body. Amen. That's why I don't have to fear the devil. Because I'm a part of the body of the living Lord. Amen? He's the head. I'm the many-membered body. I'm a part of that. You are a part of that. And so I've got to let the peace of God rule in my heart. Now this word rule is from a Greek word, barbaro, or something. I can't remember the name of it for sure. But anyway, it's from a Greek word, and it means to be an umpire. Now, it doesn't matter what you think or what I think when we're sitting in a ball game. It's what the umpire says. Amen? So Donna and I were sitting there last night, and we were going over these scriptures together, talking about what God was saying through Jesus to His disciples there. And just edifying each other and being built up by the Spirit of God. And I got to thinking about... letting God be God. And let the peace of God umpire your life. In 2010, there was a baseball player named Armando Guerrero, I can't say his name. He pitched for the Detroit Tigers in the major leagues. He was pitching a perfect game. He's down to the last batter. And the next to the last batter, they hit the ball and it almost went out of the park. This guy made a running over the head catch. It was amazing to save it. So he's down to the last batter. He draws back and he pitches the ball to the batter. The batter knocks it to the second baseman. No, the first baseman who had come over to cover. And so the pitcher runs to first base. St- steps on the bag and catches the ball. Everybody watching the game knows he's out. He's out by full step. The umpire goes like, safe. Just like that, that changed everything. He went from pitching a perfect game to that's a hit because the umpire said so. Now, there's 50-something thousand fans there. They all know it's a hit. All the people watching around TV because the replay knows it's a hit, but the umpire has the final say. Let the peace of God umpire in your life. Don't matter what everybody else is saying. Don't even matter what your flesh may be saying. What is God saying? Let him have the first say, first of all. Let him have the middle say. Let him have the last say, okay? And what he says, it will come to pass in our lives. We've got to believe that, amen? We've got to put it in our heart. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, all the storms that's going around in people's lives and the people who feel like they're being stepped on this morning by people who are uncaring, people who are hurtful, people who have an evil agenda. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you just touch every person this morning and help them to come boldly to the throne of grace and help them hear what you're saying, first of all, or you can Lego, you can build upon the previous words that brought salvation, the previous words that brought hope, the previous words that brought peace, and show them this morning that in the midst of everything that's happening, that you'll never leave them, you'll never forsake them. In the midst of everything that's happening, you have a word for them that will encourage them and build them up. Father, in the name of Jesus, draw them right now. Lord, and I pray with all my heart, Father, that we'll leave here forever changed by a revelation touch of your Spirit in this word this morning. Because your word is alive. And we want to receive it, word to bring life to us. We ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come this morning? Would you come and say, Father God, here I am. I got a storm in this area of my life. I've got a lot of people pulling on me. I've got a lot of things that wants to create fear. But I want to be in the place and the position where, first of all, I hear from you. And I let you build truth in my life where I can let your truth be the umpire, have the final say in my life. Would you come? There's some of you who have been tormented at night. You lay there, and when you should be at rest, the devil creates scenarios and plays pictures out in your mind. God wants to help you with that. He wants to give you victory over that. He wants to take you to a new place in Him this morning. All you have to do is come.